Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner. It's Sunday, October 18th, 2015. And this morning I read a piece that was really quite good. And it was written by James Williams from the University of Oxford. And it's on a blog called Practical Ethics. And the title of the piece is Why It's Okay to Block Ads. And in fact, it goes even further than that, although that headline is provocative enough. Because what we've heard so far about blocking ads has come from the ad industry and from the publishing industry, that has both of which obviously have built up around this idea that we spend our time online having our attention sold to advertisers. And the purpose, and the web, they say, has formed, I mean, that's what Williams says, and I know it isn't true on my blog, although I guess to some extent it is, because, you know, in a pure sense, what the web would be is people just recording knowledge as they receive it, and making it available to other people as they might need it, without pushing it on anybody, without trying to draw anybody there who isn't actually looking for that information, or hasn't decided that they always want to hear what this person thinks is interesting. You know, because sometimes you read stuff, or I do, because the person who's writing it interests me, and almost, you know, don't care so much about what they're writing about. It's just I like the way they write. I like the way they think. I like to read to get new ideas, to get new points of view, new perspectives, which then gives me a chance. That just sort of becomes part of the mix in my own thinking. And it's where the sort of new sort of paths in my life open up. I mean, I can point to lots of occasions where receiving an alternate point of view, one that I had not considered prior, opened up years worth of exploration, and fruitful exploration. So I think that's one of the reasons why we like each other's minds, is because they have the capacity to do that. And so when I'm out on the internet, this is, he talks about what are your goals when you're out reading stuff on the internet. And so if you were to actually write down your goals, what it is you're trying to achieve by doing this, and then against that, put down a list of the things that the advertisers are trying to achieve, and realize that most of the time that you're spending on the web is being spent on the latter, being helping them achieve their goals. Now, they have a rather limited view of what our capabilities are. I mean, basically, we can be influenced to buy things. And but none of us buy all that much, you know, certainly not compared to all the ads that get thrust at us. I mean, they're offensive, some of them. I mean, the example on TV, because I watch Knicks games and baseball games, I have to be shown in graphic detail what harm cigarette smoking can do to you, because they're spending money to try to use that my attention to get me to stop smoking. But, you know, what about the people who have never smoked, who are sold? They don't need to be convinced that smoking's a bad thing. Or people like myself who are ex-smokers who know, yeah, it's really hard to quit smoking. And, you know, I certainly took a lot of time before I was able to do it. But I did it. And I did it now a long time ago. And I've never, you know, been tempted to go back. It's not something I want to do. And I find those ads very offensive. I mean, I really do. I mean, sometimes I'm eating while watching TV. It's like all of a sudden some guy is dying of emphysema on TV, and it's like, okay, no. How do I get this? So what I've resorted to, I just have to tell you this, I've resorted to singing while they do this. First of all, I cover my eyes. I don't watch. And I can't stand at the end. He's coughing like, oh, God, it's just so awful. So I just sing something loudly enough so that I can't hear what he's doing. And I feel to some extent that I have, I haven't achieved my own goals here, by the way, in doing that. What I've done is I've avoided fulfilling their goals in a very shotgun, sort of scattershot way. I also find the ads about Viagra extremely offensive. I mean, and also scary, because for the scary part is that I think it's great that kids watch baseball games and basketball games. It's a shared experience. It's a way for us to communicate across generations. There's no real ageism when it comes to baseball. It's one of the few areas where there's a lot of respect for history, and in fact, that's all that baseball really is. I mean, they talk about the Cubs having never done X in the postseason since 1907. You know, this is some history. There isn't a single person alive today who was alive then. I mean, if there were, they were infants, and or very, very few people would be. I mean, you're talking about people who are like, they would have to be in the 110s in order to be alive today. So nobody's, you know. So history, it's beyond ageism. It's reverence for history is what baseball's about. So I think it's fantastic that kids watch that. However, I do not think it's fantastic that kids have to watch ads for erectile dysfunction. And why they have to understand what erectile dysfunction is beyond me. They haven't even had sex yet. And already they have to be thinking about what sex would be like when their bodies don't. I mean, kids, if you recall, I mean, having been one myself, erectile dysfunction is not the issue for young people. Both probably male or female. I mean, it's like, you know, I've never been a female, but I certainly have been a male at that age, and it's not something that you really need to understand. It's the beauty. It's beautiful that you don't have to understand it. And that's one of my objections. The other is I don't like the women who are pitching me. I don't like them. I would not have sex with those people. I just don't find them interesting or attractive or funny. I've said this on, I tried to approach this, and it didn't flame out, thank goodness, because it's one of the few areas where it's perfectly valid for men to comment on the sexuality of this woman, because she's being presented as our ideal, as the woman we would like to fuck. And I think that's, boy... I mean, if you're into S&M, I think maybe she might be a good choice, a disciplinarian. But I think that sex is supposed to be fun, and you're supposed to enjoy each other's company. And she seems so serious, and I would have to try tickling her to get started with that. But I'm not going to go any further with this. But I find it offensive that they put her up there to. Well, I don't know what they put her up there for. They probably have some fancy psychological theory that this is some sort of authority figure woman this is the kind of person we're going to masturbate to? I don't think so. Anyway, where was I? Right, so when you're consuming ads, okay, so the ad blocker can stop the ads, but it doesn't stop you from reading the ad bait. In other words, you're still caught in the flypaper. You're not getting swatted by the fly swatter, but you're still being caught in the trap. And that's because what has happened is the content, at least a lot of the content on the web, has been formed around this idea that you are attention, you are a certain amount of attention, that's what you are, and you're to be sold, that attention is to be sold, and you're still caught in that. And so he says, the title says why it's okay to block ads, but it's really not the point that he makes. The point that he makes is why it's your obligation to block ads. And he makes a really good point that by blocking ads, you're removing that business model. That no longer works. And if everybody were to install ad blockers, then that would be the end of that web. It would be over. And they would like us to believe that this is a bad thing, but actually it's a good thing. Because the web won't go away. The ability to communicate on the internet will not go away. It will remain. And then we will be able to use it for other things. We'll be able to create new sort of dynamics that do not revolve around getting people all upset about things. I mean, why do you think we have all these moral parades on the internet? Well, some of it is, a lot of it, is just basic human nature. It's like people feel they must morally evaluate everything, that this is their way of expressing themselves, and that they have to tell you what their morals say to them about something. In other words, every event is just a chance for everybody to get up, line up in a moral parade. And this goes back to something that Umar Haque wrote about the other day, which I thought was actually quite interesting. He said that basically Twitter has completely devolved. The town square aspect of Twitter doesn't exist anymore. And I believe he's right. And I'm not sure that it ever actually existed. It certainly felt like it was a potential for existing back then, but now it's more like it's more like the press conferences they have at trade shows. You have celebrities, they get up and they make pronouncements, and then we pass around what they've said, and everybody goes, well, okay, now I understand I'm more of a fan or less of a fan or whatever, you know. So you get Donald Trump, who is very good at being one of these characters and translates that into, political success because he's able to do this. But it's not. I don't really feel that it's ever been the wonderful town square idea that people were saying it was going to be. I'm pretty sure I didn't say it was going to be that myself because by the time Twitter came around, I had already been completely tarred and feathered about dozens of times on the internet, and I know that it doesn't work. They tear down every hero that they bring up, and so the punishment for being successful on the internet is more of that kind of success, except it turns from positive to negative. Well, okay, so a certain amount of that is just human nature, and nothing is going to stop that. And because, experimentally, I can show you that. I mean, it existed before the internet was commercial. Mail lists and forums and chat rooms and all the rest of that would just flame out regularly, go through a very predictable cycle of wonderfulness up front and then de-evolution to become the norm, which is, basically a hot mess. So what do we do on Twitter is we just block people that we find whose moral parades do not match our moral parade. And I'm as often irritated with people whose positions I agree with, who give me the same moral paradeness. I mean, you can ask Michael Markman about that. I mean, my politics and his match up more or less, but I've often objected to things that he said because I can see the other side of it, and I can see that's just going to inflame them, and all we're going to get is a constant display of morals. And it's really not interesting. I mean, I can already tell you what all the different sides are for gun control. I know them all. I could represent either side. So I do not need to hear these again. We're not taking a tally here. We're not going to decide anything. Nothing's actually going to happen here other than you're going to parade your morals and some other guys are going to parade theirs. And I am amazed at times how really intelligent people seem to seek this out. And, I just think aren't you tired of this yet? I mean, don't you hope for more? Is this really why you're using the internet? So I guess I feel like he's absolutely right. It is your moral responsibility. If you don't like what the internet is today, go ahead, install the ad blocker, and go ahead and, you know, go wherever you want. And when you're going someplace that's ad-supported, you're actually making them aware of something because they can count you now. And this is one of those forms of communication that actually works. What will happen here is something will give. The advertisers are not going to continue to pay for ads that are blocked. So things are going to change, and they might change very quickly. And I think the change would be a good thing because I think we've arrived at the end of this process. I only want to read original, genuine thought from people, from honest-to-goodness people, people who are not trying to suck my attention in and waste it, you know. And that goes back to something I said before, is that if you find yourself trying to draw people to your site, if you feel that what's of value to you is having more people click on your links than it is to just share something that you've learned, then you're doing exactly the same thing, and you're getting as much value out of it as the advertisers are. You know, maybe your brand is becoming more, people are becoming more aware of your brand. And I, you know, I've seen, certainly seen plenty of academics who have figured that one out and have leveraged, you know, fame on the internet to, you know, fat speaking fees at conferences and promotions and fellowships and maybe even awards. Maybe I'm not even aware, you know, grant approvals and so forth. Well, it's all made out of garbage. There's no substance to any of this. Just because you say things in a cute way doesn't mean there's more value to what you say. Yeah. I mean, at some point, you have to sort of ask yourself, why are you doing this? You know, what is the point of having an internet in the first place? And so we've gone really down a very deep, ugly hole. And we're way, way, way down in it. And now we're sort of becoming aware of that. And I think it's fantastic. I really do. This is why one can be optimistic about the evolution of technology, is because people will eventually throw out the garbage. It gets boring after a while. I mean, it's nice, okay, I get to sit and watch your hamster cage grow and lots of new people come in to spin the wheels and all the rest of that. And for a while, it's kind of interesting. And then it's like, oh, okay, this is just the same old shit we've always had. And I don't care anymore, and so I'm going to go try to find something else that interests me. So I found this piece totally remarkable because going into it, I saw it on Hacker News, and their quote was the one that I ended up eventually pulling, and it's near the end of the piece, and let me just go get it for you because it's absolutely worth it. And this is what I put into my tweet. This is what I quoted in my tweet. It says, "The question should not be whether ad blocking is ethical, but whether it is a moral obligation." Yes. And the answer is, it depends on what your goals are. There's no one answer to that. If what you're about is, if you're making really good money off of people attention, about chopping up that attention into little bits and selling it off to different, you know, people who are willing to pay you for it, then of course it's an ethical issue because I'm going to put ethical in quotes because you know, it's your point of view, and ethical isn't the word I would use. Profitable. I mean, unprofitable. Ad blocking is not an ethical issue, it's a profit issue. There's nothing ethical about it. I mean, but if you really think that human communication has value in its own right, without this crap about attention, then, yeah, a moral obligation might be a little bit pushing it. Maybe it's not quite that. But it's certainly acting in your own interest. And if your interest is having a better tool for being who you are, then it's in your interest to block those ads and to do that in a very open way as to make sure the people who are being blocked know that they're being blocked. And let's put our heads together and figure out if there's anything that they can do for us that has value. If not, then why should we give a shit if they go away? They're not providing us any value. There's no reason we should be paying for this. And maybe other people feel differently about it, and then they'll find a business model and they'll find something that keeps the doors open for them. Or I have a bunch of different ideas about how this is going to evolve. Let's leave that for another day, okay? So I want to thank you very much for listening, for making it this far, and have a great, let's go Mets. Have a great day. Bye-bye.